Hello, this is Kunal Gulpade, also known as Createx. I'm a DJ and music producer, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a conversation with the DJ and producer, Createx. Stay tuned. Hey, once again, a big thank you to everyone for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, and sharing it with your friends and family, and for following the show on social media. If you're enjoying it all, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's really, really appreciated. Now, much to my family's behest, I love mixing things and finding oddball combinations. I do. Some of them are scoffed at, like putting Shrikhanda on a bagel or wearing chappals with a jacket and tie. But sometimes the blends can be surprisingly good and result in magic, and no matter what, when the combo is making me happy, that's in the end all that really matters. So when I first heard a music track made by Krunal Ghorpade, who's also known as Createx, a DJ and producer who started serendipitously mixing house and electronic dance music with Marathi music, it definitely spoke to me in many, many ways. Createx is from Mumbai, and while he's been a producer for several years, blending all kinds of Marathi music with techno, house, and dance beats has helped him create a new genre called M-House. Whether it's an old Marathi Chitrapat playback song, or a Natyagit song, or a pop song from the 80s, or the sound of a Tutari or Lejhim, mixing sounds of Marathi culture with house and dance tracks has brought a nostalgia for those who know, and a rebirth for those who are first making a discovery. In the end, it's making Krunal and his audiences happy and energized, and so we had a chance to catch up and chat about the many dimensions of his music and background. But as I have to admit that I had a momentary double take when I first heard his music, I started asking Krunal about what his biggest surprises have been on this artistic journey.
For me, the whole thing is working is a surprise for me, because I never thought that Marathi and electronic music could have been like done in such a way, and even I wasn't sure. So everything wasn't planned, like nothing was planned that I will do mixed Marathi or like, I was just making music, what I do anyways. So this was just posting on internet, which towards the popularity of this M-House thing, like Marathi house music. And this was a surprise to me, like the power of social media and like how internet is so strong. Like I know that, okay, people can listen to whatever you put on the internet.
Yeah.
But if you make something which resonates with someone and the way they share it towards, like even to you, like so many miles away.
Yeah.
And people can like resonate with the energy I have. So that was surprising for me. That because I lost hope in like music. Like I was producing for like 7 years and nothing was working out. So I thought that maybe I'm not a good music producer. Mm. Like I'm not creative enough to that people would like me. And then like keeping on making that led towards M-House, and then people started liking it, which is crazy because house music generally, yeah, it's popular in like US and Europe, but here it's not that popular, but Marathi people are liking house music.
And you mentioned one thing there that, you know, the genre itself, the idea itself is a surprise, but was this an idea that you've actually had for a long time, but perhaps
no,
okay,
not at all.
Huh.
So this idea is a funny story behind it. I was making music and I was doing a couple of shows like once a month or something. I didn't post much on social media because there's nothing to post. So a friend of mine who works in Merchant Navy, he came along back, he's a school friend. He asked me that, did you stop making music? We're like, discontinue this. And I was shocked by listening to that because that was a big trigger to me.
Yeah.
Because when you do something for so many years and you don't want the tag of have you stopped doing it or have you quit, so that triggered me. So I just sat down and I was like, what should I post? Like, I do produce music every day on like my laptop. Like, that's what I do. Like, I don't do shows or anything else.
Yeah.
So what should I post? Like, I was like, let's just post this. And that day, accidentally, I took a variety. It wasn't planned at all. Like, this was pure accident. I took a variety song. Because I have a bunch of like library of samples of songs, clips I have in my folder. And majority of them are Marathis. So maybe that is one of the reasons. But it wasn't planned that today I will do a Marathi song or something.
Right, right.
And I did it. And then next week I did it. The next week I did it. People just started liking it. And people are just commenting. Like, there wasn't like a growth in plays and views or anything. But people were commenting a lot.
Yeah.
People are messaging a lot for that. Because they actually liked it. So that led to like the whole thing. Because I was listening to the audience now. Rather than listening to myself or listening to like industry professionals, because they would have given a completely different advice to me based on like, oh, the market is small and all that.
Right. Well, and you mentioned that like this happened by surprise. Was there some switch that almost had to go off in saying that like, look, I'm feeding off of a vibe, and you had been a producer and someone who's been making music for a long time, but this sort of happened by accident. Was there something that you had to, in some ways, kind of undo or unlearn in order for this to happen?
There are two things which made it grow. One thing is I paid attention to the rest of the music of the world rather than just listening to electronic, because my creative process opened up a bit of like, because I was thinking very linear in like in terms of producing electronic music. But if I listen to like different kinds of music, there's a different world. People don't produce rock music the way we produce electronic music. So there's different things. And I heard a lot of folk music. Folk music is constantly churned out in India. Like, you can like, maybe there's a million records released in like a month, something.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I listened outside of what I generally do. Second thing was my family was liking it. Now they understood what I'm doing because this is relatable to them.
There's a connection.
Yeah, my mom started liking it. My wife started liking it. My grandpa started liking it. And I was like, I'm making them like electronic music.
Right.
Like, they don't know it's electronic music.
Yeah.
But still they like it.
I was thinking about this from the vantage point of, I imagine that you probably had to become a better listener of Marathi music as well as, you know, sort of an observer of Marathi culture. But it sounds like you had to become a better listener and observer of culture and responses around you of all kinds of music and all kinds of different things, and even sort of the general listener response to your music as well.
Yeah, that is really important. And that comes from my father, because he was like a very, like, I lost him at a very young age, but I have heard in my house when I was there, when we both were there together, every day some or the other kind of music was playing in my house. Every day. And this wasn't like just Marathi. Yeah, Marathi was a part of that, but it was like even Western music, like Wham and all. Like, I used to listen to like everything. So,
right.
And this was popular music. This wasn't like deep music.
Yeah, digging too deep. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just popular music around the world, popular folk music, popular Marathi music, popular Hindi music. So that led to my, because if you listen to a lot of popular music, you are actually listening to the music which has a lot of influence.
Mm. True.
Most people would hate like pop music, like, oh no, this is, but it's connecting so many people. Like, if so many people are liking something, there's something in it which is connecting them together. And that's what makes pop music still relevant. Like, people are still listening to it. And that sensibility of more, listening to more pop music, like, because I don't know how to play an instrument.
Right. You know? Right.
I can draw notes on my Ableton and like, I can make a melody, but I cannot like play it.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I know, like, okay, this note, then, okay, then this sounds good.
Right.
This sounds good. Like,
yeah, that's funny you say that like, pop music has so much influence and so many different streams of influences that make it popular, that make it actually richly, you know, universal for so many people. How much, in fact, because you are harnessing memories of your dad, memories of growing up, lots of nostalgia, and of course, in some ways, kind of popular influences as well, how much actual cultural pride as a Marathi creator plays a role in your work?
It's more of the audience cultural pride that works in my work, because every artist, the moment they grow ahead, it's because of the appreciation they get a lot from the audience. And that's when we are open to making any kind of music. You are open to experiment. You are open to make more music when you get that appreciation. So I am generally, because I'm being grown up Marathi family, Marathi neighborhoods, Marathi school, like not Marathi school, but it was an English school, but still everyone was Marathi.
Yeah.
So when people compliment me in Marathi, it feels much better to me. Because they don't just feel that I'm an artist. They feel that I am their family member, or I am just like,
yeah.
Like all of them call me Bhau. Bhau, like Bhau, his brother.
Yeah. DJ Bhau.
yeah. They say, Bhau, tu hai masta banao, Bhau, you affected you. So that makes me, this is the moment where I feel very proud of my culture. That.
Yeah, there's some kinship. There's some community that is there that can only be, that actually can't be translated in a way.
Yes. And that helps me to use more Marathi elements in it, or like,
yeah,
use more older songs, you know, you use more this song. So it opens up my mind, that because I feel more responsible now to make music.
Yeah.
Because I'm making it for them. So I'm using that responsibility very carefully.
Is that a responsibility that in a way feels like it comes easy? Do you embrace that? Or is that something that you don't always necessarily feel comfortable with in other areas, but as an artist, the music makes it feel a little bit more comfortable?
Yeah, it's not that problematic. Like I'm comfortable with that, because obviously the responsibility is more about like you take it to the next level. And that's where I have to work harder.
Yeah.
Because when it's about taking things to the next level, extra risks has to be taken. Like you have to think beyond your comfort zone.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Kratex. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Madhuri Dixit, and you are listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with DJ and producer Krunal Ghorpade, better known as Kratex.
Let me ask you this. I mean, when I think of being at a house party or watching people at a house party, not just the people who are listening or dancing or the DJ or the music itself, but there's an element of people getting lost in the music. It's almost like people feel like they're in a trance. People, they feel like they're so immersed and enmeshed. Everybody, right? From the person who's creating the music to the person who is perhaps experiencing the music. And I couldn't help but think of the experience perhaps at a very, very involved kirtan. And I'm just curious if you find any similarities between some versions of Marathi tradition where you really get lost and immersed in something like a kirtan and some of the M House music that you're creating now.
The biggest similar thing is a groove, which just starts and ends without any stop.
Yeah.
Because even in the breakdown parts of the song, even in the build up parts, there is still the drums are still there, and even in house music, the drums are still there.
Yeah.
And I think so that just doesn't allow you to disconnect from what's happening. Because the drums are still moving and your head is bobbing or something is happening.
Yeah.
And you stop that, then everything just goes away.
Any of the observations or permutations of Marathi music particularly, but now putting that into a Western style, right? I mean, house music, whether that's, you know, European or American or some version of house or dub, you know, these are all from a Western perspective, which means that, again, you had to enter a new universe and imagine it, you know, and understand what that must sound like to somebody else. And I'm curious how empathy, thinking about it from the listener's perspective, has now informed your work as you, again, are trying to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think so. Playing it live has taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Because I can actually gauge the reactions of people on different parts of a house music track. Like what they are behaving on an intro, how they are behaving on a breakdown, how they are behaving on like a drop. So these things have led me to take decisions on my creative process because house music is repetitive.
Yeah.
If I keep it non-repetitive, or like if I keep it like very fast, then I'm losing house music.
Mm.
It's just not there then. So what my task always is to use the vocal a cappella as an instrument and not like a vocal. Like I treat that as an instrument in itself. So if that's an instrument, I can just break one part of it and use it somewhere to just reduce the repetitiveness where there can be repetitiveness. For example, there's a song Reshma Charikan.
Yeah.
And the beat, the main part of the song comes like in the breakdown. But I just use Reshma Charigani at like one part.
Yeah.
So people now shout at that point.
Right.
And now they just enjoy the same repetitive groove.
Yeah.
Which wasn't there, which was there before the vocal. Just that vocal made them a bit energetic.
Right. Right.
And just that 3-second sample made them that. These are the decisions which I have to make. To basically keep both these genres really authentic. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to lose quality because I love house music.
Yeah,
equally than what I love Marathi music.
Right.
So I just don't want to disrespect any of them. Like I have to stick to what house is. Like I can make a faster beat and like people can dance much more harder than that.
Right.
I know that. But I have to make a decision of not make it faster and keep it towards the house.
Well, and do you find that because that's a challenge, yeah, and you use the word respect,
yes,
you know, does it sometimes feel like it or not, that you have to pick one or the other?
So generally, priority is always Marathi.
Huh.
Because vocals will pay 80% of the importance in a track.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of genre it is. So that's why I chose Marathi as a vocal.
Right.
Like I could have chosen English and put Marathi grooves on it.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Then English becomes the 80% priority. Like for a normal person, they are only hearing the music and the vocals. They don't know what is going on in drums, what is going on in the synthesizer.
Right.
Don't know all that. You just know these two things.
Right. So the vocals almost are like the signature of it.
Vocals are the signature. If I make a non-vocal track,
yeah,
which I do, I made Tutari and all, then the lead instrument has to be Marathi.
Well, and does that therefore, because the vocals, the, let's say, Marathiness of the track, is that what helps keep, particularly for the artistic pathway that you're creating, does that help keep the music relevant then?
No, honestly, no, because everyone won't understand the lyrics or won't understand the vibe of it. So that's where I bring my music production knowledge.
Okay.
So I use a lot of modular synthesis.
Yeah.
In between my songs. So it's, and I use it like 50.
Right.
Like I don't keep the whole song, like if the drop consists of like a vocal, it just stops after like 4 bars. Then I use my sounds, which are like pure electronic, which I produce. So I want these two people in the room to feel equally important when I play something.
In a way, I was thinking about your art. And at first, I kept looking at it as sort of a rebirth of Marathi culture and music in a new art form. But in a way, the more and more I think about it, I wonder if it's much more of just a reorganizing of it. And in the fashion that you're doing this, a very, very novel and in many ways beautiful reorganizing it.
Yeah, we can say the reorganizing is, yeah, that's what I do. But for like a general person, I'm translating them. I'm just translating Marathi music in their modern language of music. Because I don't have singers who do that. Like I just use the vocals extracted from the older songs. And I'll give you an example, like this song Lazaran Sazaran Mukhada, it's from like 80s or maybe before that.
Sure.
And when I played in my set, my remix version of it, young people are like lip-syncing it. They were not even born at that time. Like even I wasn't born at that time. But I see, because I love the composition so good, because that song wasn't trending anytime soon. I didn't see that song trending ever, but I have heard it a lot of times because of my father in like my childhood and like on TV sometimes. So my joy while I was making is now translated to the other person, and they are re-listening to that song which their grandparents might have listened. And that's a beautiful connection when they look. So some of my fans have told me like they were checking out my DJ set, which I have recorded on YouTube. And then Lazaran Sazaran Mukhada, their grandparents asked them, how is you listening to this song? Like, you know, there's a generation bridge which is created. So that made me really emotional and happy at the same time that I'm able to do this. Like I didn't thought of that this would happen.
Almost like an unexpected surprise.
Yeah, like this connecting between this generation with the younger generation.
Yeah.
Is really important because that collaboration would really work in a family because they have seen things which the young kids wouldn't have seen.
Right.
And vice versa.
Marathi music has itself such huge variety, right? There's Kori Geet, there's Launi, there's Chitra Geet, there's Kirtan, there's old Marathi film music, new Marathi film music, Natya Geet, Bhav Geet, Bhajan, pop music, etc., you name it. Now, you have a lot of different substrate to work with. And of course, the whole range of house music, and it seems somewhat similar in a way to the house Bhangra movement from, say, the 90s or the 2000s. Do you draw some parallels to that in a way?
I'm not sure, because House Bhangra movement was more about rappers.
Okay.
And like singers. Like in general, yes. In general, Marathi music has a lot of new Marathi rappers, and that movement is like still going on of Marathi rap. But for me, I don't think so, House Bhangra movement, because I've seen what House Bhangra movement was, and like these artists came together, and like they started reviving the old Punjabi songs into garage, and it was like it's quite popular still in London.
Yeah,
so yeah, somehow it's similar to that. Like they chose garage, I chose house music.
Right, right.
That is somehow similar to that. But their whole Bhangra movement was very of about keeping the Punjabi music authentic,
right?
If you hear UK Bhangra, they use Punjabi groups.
Yep.
It's the garage thing which is happening in London, which is a separate thing.
Sure.
But the UK Bhangra has Bhangra in it.
Yeah.
It's the purest purest thing.
Yeah.
Like they don't try to mess around because their audience needs that.
Yeah.
They want that. The experimental zone is in different part of the world. They're okay with experiments like the garage and but the garage music they have a lot of rappers.
Yeah.
Who are involved in the scene. So yeah, if overall I see yes. Like if I see the underlining message of it is just reviving your own culture into the Western culture, yes, then that is there. But parallelly, I think so. This is a different thing,
and because there's so many different varieties of Marathi music, do you feel that you have to, in a way, bounce around to all of those different varieties?
Yes, that is very important for me. Because Marathi communities, they have groups, right? The groups of certain people who enjoy being with them, and like for example, Kohli, right? When these groups, they want this to be there, like it's still a representation, like Kohli is a representation of that community. Like I feel like a chef. I can't like stick to like making Puran Poli only. If I want to make a Maharashtra restaurant in like, let's say US, I have to make everything. Because it's not about like, oh, I have to please them. No. Because when I make all this and when I place it in an international palette, they would understand, okay, this is something different. This is something different. So it works both ways for the community as well and works for me as well because then my international fans, they would always see something new out of
them. Yeah. And for you, when you were growing up, obviously you listened to the music that your parents played for you. But as you perhaps were getting more and more into music and more into production even, was it always in the back of your mind that, hey, these songs someday are going to make it out into what I'm doing?
Yes, definitely. Because the thing was because the old house, which I used to say, was like very noisy.
Yeah.
Like there was an auto stand right beside my house. Like I was in first floor and the auto stand was like, and they used to play music in their autos. And when I was producing, because I couldn't isolate that music at all, it used to like auto remix itself in my head. And that's the point I was like, okay, yeah, this can also be there. This can also be into like electronic sound. This can also be done. But I never thought that this would actually happen.
True.
Like, it was like just out of like, maybe it was all like set up for me.
Well, so not just the music, but I think what you're saying is the sounds of the street, you know, in a typical Marathi community. So am I imagining that you're going to have like some, you know, drum and bass set to the vocals of Bartli Bai, like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And everything because we have like we have Satyanarayan Puja of another building which is play on huge speakers. Then we have like the Yandi and Pati, and these are playing on speakers. So I'm like hearing all types of music. It's not just like the streets is definitely there, but it's like one auto rickshaw guy is just singing a song. Like he's just singing because he's like free, so he's just singing a song, and it all just to like words in my head because I was listening to electronics. Like I was like Hardwell and David Guetta and all that. So this all used to like words and I somehow like the environment makes me think like that. And even all like people speaking, I just like Bhatpi or something like Rickshaw, Are Purida. And like, you know, everything used to like, it's so musical. Like first I used to think like noise, I used to get irritated and all, but like, I don't know. Something, as I said, I feel like now I feel like everything was set up for me.
Yeah.
To be like that.
It's almost as if like, you know, there's constantly art happening all around you.
The ideas are just around you. People think that they have to invent the idea. I don't think, like now I have realized you don't have, like, the idea is just there, maybe in front of you. And you're just not able to figure out how to stitch it. So you need the skills to stitch it. Like I needed music production to bring that together. Maybe an artist needs to know how to paint. Maybe a chef needs to know how to cook. But the idea is just there, even before you learn the skill.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with DJ and producer Kratex. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lily Singh, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with DJ and producer Krunal Ghorpade, better known as Kratex.
Let me ask you this. There's some power to music that has very universal appeal because it perhaps not only speaks to different audiences, but has appeal for different venues, different moods. As you mentioned, lots of different influences bind together in, say, pop music. And they also tell a lot of different stories. So if you think about house music, and particularly M house music, again, you're now, you know, kind of in a very specific box there. And do you see that at all as a limitation for more universal appeal? How do you perhaps take a box like this and allow it to scale and spread to different audiences, different moods, different, you know, venues, and make perhaps that much, much more of a global appeal?
At present, I don't feel that as a limitation because when I was learning to produce and I saw that how house music is also spread up in like all types of modes, because every electronic genre has its origins from house music. So like even techno came after house music. House music was like the first genre in electronic music, in dance music, you can say. So every kind of mood is touched upon in every subgenre of house. Like if I want to make like a happy track, I'll do a piano house. If I want to make a dirty track, I'll make a tech house track. If I want to make like very aggressive track, I'll make more like a techno track. So these subgenres have already, like the ones, the legends who have made all this, they've already given us, the new producers, the access to switch your moods. So recently, I wanted to make, I made this remix of Radha Ibauri, and I played it in the club. But I didn't want to lose the essence of it, like making it dirty, which is like a tech house track, you know, like which has like fat bass, something like that. I wanted it like to still sound sweet because it's a sweet song. So I use piano house. I use pianos in it. And it retained, like, most of my friends who and the people who listen to it, they always make a story and like record it in their phone. And my friend who also manages my brand, he loves that song. He's like, it feels like you have made the song. Like, it's not like, like we have heard the song, like the lyrics and all, but it really feels like you have made. So I don't think there's a limitation as of now because house music is so huge. So it will take me maybe 200 years to like reach that plateau where I can do anything. And obviously I'm open to things of still working with someone, but this is what I follow nowadays. If I am not enjoying my music, I would just rather not make it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's almost as if like you're comfortable with your own autograph. You're comfortable with your own ability to put your stamp on the music and allow it in some ways to be organic.
But yeah, I would like to go ahead and break out of this box by collaborating with an artist of another genre.
Yeah.
Because they are the experts of that.
Sure.
So if I bring my expertise to their table, let's see what happens.
Right.
Like I don't know what will happen if I collaborate with an A-lister hip hop guy.
Sure.
Like Drake or maybe someone like that. And I say, I make Marathi house music, I make house music. Let's do something. We have no clue what we are going to make.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of innovation and collaboration, right?
Yeah, because I have to trust the expertise of someone else.
Yeah.
If I sat and, okay, people want a hip-hop, hip-hop is cool nowadays, should I make a hip-hop? But I'm not an expert in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I haven't made hip-hop at any time. So why not just make it with someone who's expert in that and still bring my things to the table?
Yeah.
And by the way, is that the essence of building that trust and confidence, which is really being comfortable in the music that you're making and knowing your boundaries, because that's also going to allow you to collaborate with people who you trust and have confidence in other genres of music?
Correct. Because experts in other genres won't like if I show expertise in their genre.
Sure.
Like if a hip-hop guy sits in and I'm talking about, no, you should use this phrase and that.
Right.
They won't like it. And I won't like it. Like, unless that person is an electronic person, then I can, like, I'm open to feedback. But it just doesn't work.
You never know. You never know. Drake might speak Marathi that we just don't know about.
Don't know. I may tell him, like, sing a word, Marathi. Yeah. Like, I'd make the rest of the track.
Right.
Like, it's okay. Like,
yeah.
That can happen. So it's all about trusting that person. And I'm very sure that all the A-lister guys in music, they have this quality of trusting, because I've seen collaborate with, like, a vast majority of people. And if you don't trust, their trusting is that risk which they have to take. Like you said, like breaking out of the box and, like, thinking out of your comfort zone. Trusting someone of another genre or another who doesn't make the kind of music you make is very risky.
Well, and also trusting the skill that you have in your lane, right? That you have that confidence, you have that comfort. And just the mere fact that you're collaborating, or for that matter, exploring, makes it easy to trust others as well. And, you know, for maybe somebody who's listening to your music for the very first time, they may have no experience with Marathi music. And for that matter, vice versa, they may have no experience with house music. When they come to a show and they're experiencing Kratex art for the first time, or they're listening to your music online or as it's streaming, how do you hope they feel when they're leaving a show or when they're finished listening to your work?
I hope they just forget the problems for some time and just come and dance and just leave with a happy face. I don't want, there is some people will feel nostalgic about, and also they'll feel happy about feeling nostalgic.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to feel sad when they listen to one. Like, this is something I ensure. I don't want someone to cry with sadness or by listening to my music. I don't want someone to be in a bad trip. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to be happy. Just come to my party, dance, you feel happy, that's it. That's my goal, because if I'm just able to bring a smile on someone's face for 2 hours,
yeah,
because that's my job. Like, I have to make sure you enjoy. That's it. Like, you can choose to drink or whatever. Like, but my goal is to make you feel happy.
I imagine that engagement is so compelling that, as you mentioned, they feel elevated. They feel like they again are in some ways kind of transported this to a new place.
Yeah. Like, many people say that, it motivates. I have, like, a very crossing against, like, the motivation, because I was reading a lot of motivation books and all that, like, a lot of YouTube videos. But at one point, I was like, stop watching this. It's making me feel like a loser. So I don't motivate anyone through my music, right? Like, I don't want to do that. I think you're perfect as you are right now. Just enjoy about that first. Then think what will motivate you and what will happen and what will you achieve in your life. In this, like, constant battle of achieving something, we just forget what we have already achieved. And we just don't celebrate that. Like, and that's what I realized before, like I was making M House and there's nothing was working. And when I made M House and then it started working, then I started realizing I was already good. Why was I feeling I am an idiot and I can't make music? Why didn't I just praise myself and feel happy about it at one point? Because I learned all this. And just because something is not happening, you're just unhappy about that. Like, okay, but you did it. Like, if you compare yourself with like the first year of making music and the seventh year of making, you're still better at it. So yeah, making happy is like celebrating yourself first. You're dancing and you just don't care. You're just happy about what you are. That's enough.
Well, celebrating and elevating and being happy in the moment, I think more and more of your listeners and who are listeners, both old and new, are coming back and really investigating and exploring and really being happy. Kunal, thank you so much. This was really a treat. I hope we can visit with you down the road again too.
Yes, definitely. I plan if I come to Cali or anywhere to play M House music, then definitely we can.
Let's do it.
Thanks so much, Kunal. And you can listen to more of his work at kratex.in. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.